Very excited about our passage tonight. So if you came today and you don't necessarily know what God wants you to be doing, you don't necessarily know what the purpose you have is, tonight's message is right for you. We've got a passage of scripture with these awesome promises, okay? I'm going to jump us right to it. I've got just a few things to tell you about it, okay? But let's get to our passage. So it's Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible with you, it's Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 13. So I'll give you guys a second to turn there. It says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except for that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that is a vision passage of Maywood. We have two vision passages. And that's one of them. And I memorized that passage on accident. It's the only time I memorized some of the Bible on accident. And it's because when leaders get together at Maywood, they say those vision passages before they start a meeting every time. If you start saying stuff over and over and over, you get to know it. And so there's some people were mouthing it along with me. I saw Marcus kind of along the way and Corey. You know, these people that have been in these meetings, they some of them pick up on it. You know, why do we make that passage such a big deal? It's because it has some really important things to say. The first thing that I want to tell you tonight is the thing I get the most questions about. And Nick, who was on drums just a minute ago, he asked me about it again tonight. And it's verse 8 and the next couple verses. All this ascending and descending stuff about he who descended is the very one who ascended. And people get confused on that. I do want to tell you there's a lot of really smart scholars who argue and debate. What does that mean? And they talk about, does it mean that Jesus went all the way down to hell for people? What does it mean? There's a whole lot of debate on the translations. The big thing for us in this parking lot tonight to know is Jesus goes down to get us. Jesus descended to the earthly regions, as I just said it. He descended down into all the muck and mire that you guys have experienced. Anything you've seen here on earth, it's not too dirty for Jesus to reach down into it and pull you out of it. Some of you need to hear that tonight. No matter what mess you are in, Jesus is willing to get into your life and pull you out. He's not willing to buddy up with you and hang out in the mud. He has a purpose to get down there just to pull you out. And it says he's going to pull you out not just up to what your parents always hoped you would get to, or not just up to what that first grade teacher said, or not just up to whatever you want. It says that Jesus fills everything, right? He's on his way to being Lord of everything. He's going to lift you up to a spot that's higher than you would have ever made for yourself or anyone else has expected for yourself. So Jesus has plans for David back there that are greater than David's ever imagined. The same for Samuel, the same for Elizabeth right here in the front, for Sebla, for Abram. There's this idea that Jesus is taking us to places no one else is going to take you. And so if you're here tonight and you're thinking, nobody really thinks I can be much of anything, I'm here to say that you're wrong. That Jesus has a plan, this passage says, for you. For all of us, and it's a plan together. The other thing I want to point out is in verse 7, it says each one of us, and it's just talking about people who believe in Jesus. The only thing to be a part of this club is you say, I can't make it on my own. I need Jesus' help. When you say that, when you say, I'm going to do it Jesus' way, or at least I'm going to hand the keys over to Jesus and try. It says Jesus gives you a gift. It doesn't say Jesus gives everybody the gift. It doesn't say he gives it all the exact same. Jesus has given Ernie Sandy something he hasn't given me. And it's something different. What he gave me is different than what he gave Judy, right? Nobody mapped it out. Nobody voted on it. Jesus apportioned it. Jesus decided, here's exactly what Elizabeth needs to be a part of the team I want to put her on, right? Here's what Robert needs to shine for me as part of a team. So Jesus has looked at you, and as soon as you said, Jesus, I want to follow you, he said, here's a gift for you. There's some way that I'm going to shine through you. Maybe you don't know what that gift is. I want to tell you tonight that later on in that passage it says, so Christ gave. It's the second time we get this idea of Jesus giving. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is the only time pastor, the way we would use the term, to just mean like a position, not like a somebody watching sheep. It's the only time pastor gets used in the New Testament. It's a really quick job description. It says a pastor or a leader at the church has one job, and that's to equip other people to use their gifts. Not everybody loves coaches. I can understand that not liking this title, coach, but this is where it comes from us. Whenever somebody asks me about coach, whether they're happy about it or not, I always get a chance to tell them about this passage, about like Jesus gave me a job description. And he gave it to Coach Wayne and Coach Justin, Coach Daniel. Our job description is just one thing Jesus is going to ask us about. What did you do at Maywood? Did you equip the gifts that I gave to people? Because you all have the gifts. You all are the ones who, when you come together, you'll look like Jesus. It's not like I can just become real special and look like Jesus all by myself. It's when we are together in a way that could never happen without Jesus, when we're each using the gift that he's given us, that's when this neighborhood can't help but come to the new life. The passage says that we're supposed to use our gifts to build each other up, right? So if you don't know what your gift is, talk to one of these coaches and say, help me figure out my gift. Jesus gave you to me for that purpose, so do it. You know, help me figure out, what am I supposed to do? But I want to ask you, before we go any further, I want to stop. Do you really believe that Jesus has gifted you? That you have something to share? I'm seeing some head nods. Those are the folks we want on the team, right? Is that you have enough faith to say, Jesus has put something good in me? Because that's what this passage says. So how do we do things here at Maywood? Because this is our vision passage. One of the things we aspire to do is to not fill holes, but to equip people in their gifts. So I want to describe a scenario to you. Imagine you were a coach of an athletic team, and let's say you're coaching a baseball team, but you're missing a shortstop and you're missing a third baseman. So you might be out there looking for, you know, somebody super nimble to be your shortstop, somebody with some rocket for an arm to be your third baseman. But you've already got a little bit of a team going, right? Well, let's say while you're at practice, the Chiefs, for whatever reason, a bunch of Chiefs players start showing up to your practice and wanting to play on your team, right? So Kelsey wants to be on your team, doesn't really fit as a shortstop, right? So do you tell them, like, sorry, we don't have a spot for you? Or Patrick McCombs comes and you're like, great, you can be third baseman, right? You got a good arm. You can be our third baseman. A bunch of these Chiefs players start showing up. Do you just put them in the spots? Do you just put them as your shortstop or as your third baseman? At some point, you get half dozen or 11 Chiefs players showing up. Like, maybe you start thinking, I don't want to be a baseball coach anymore. Like, we're just going to turn this into a football team, right? We're just going to be a football team. Just decided, right? That's kind of what Maywood tries to do, is we don't try to say, oh, we've got a hole to be like every other church. We need this exact thing. We instead try to look around and say, who has God given us? This is our goal. We don't always get there. This is our goal. Who's God given us? Where are the gifts? And we try to build those gifts up, right? So we spent a whole lot of our energy raising people up instead of trying to just fill gaps. So honestly, we get some gaps at Maywood. And we get some like uncomfortable things going, right? But a good example is just one real quick one to point out. Coach Justin, the youth group, right before all this shutdown stuff, they were splitting the youth group into four groups. One of those groups was led by Bryce, who's right here with the camera, and some other folks. But like a fourth of the youth group on Wednesday night was working on video stuff and like video production. And why was that? It's because Bryce is a professional videographer, right? So if he's one of the youth group volunteers, it's not like, oh, how do we get the youth group to be exactly like every other youth group? It's like, Bryce is here. Let's put some kids with Bryce doing what Bryce is gifted at. We don't have to look. Maywood's not going to look like every other church, right? But we don't have to try to look like every other church. We're not trying to copy off someone or chase after someone else's show. We're saying, what does Jesus want to do here? And so it's not going to always look like everything else. But if you want to use your gifts, then it's the right place for you, right? I think we're just scratching the surface of all the amazing stuff Jesus wants to do through us, okay? We're just starting to see some of the things we would have never imagined happening at a church, right, that are starting to happen here. Some of the people that shouldn't be able to get along, getting along. Some of the things happening out in the neighborhood that aren't normal, right? Mark's testimony, if you saw that video on Facebook, his testimony from a few weeks ago, we did an update a couple days ago, but Barry, who Mark had helped, is now leading this Bible study with these other group of homeless folks, right? And so Jesus is using the gifts that he's given Barry because Mark was faithful to have that conversation and start the ball rolling. And for you, you have these ripple effects like Abby was talking about in the class just a minute ago. It's ripple effects when you start to listen to God, when Molly sees that like God's gifted her in ways he hasn't gifted Heather, and in ways he hasn't gifted Adam, you know? And so each of them have a different role, right? So Molly probably can't draw like Heather can draw, right? So Molly shouldn't try to draw, right, like Heather could draw. They need to figure out their own gifts and use those gifts, right? So the last thing I want to talk to you guys about tonight, I got an example for, because I think it's going to be hard for us to really grasp it, okay? So with the kids, we're always trying to work on the kids with like good nutrition. They're back there in the van. So when they're eating like vegetables, our poor kids have to eat vegetables at every meal. Like they start off the day like broccoli and stuff. It's a rough breakfast. I always feel a little bit sometimes that we're giving them. But when we give them different things, we'll talk about what is that for? And they'll tell us like, oh, I'm eating this meat, it'll make me strong. And so I've got some milk right here. So milk, what do you think? Let's just get some crowd participation, right? So, Heather, do you want to drink this? Okay, come on up here. This is all clean. You can be our example. I was going to drink it, but you can't. Okay, so... So as Heather's drinking it, you don't have to make yourself sick. But as Heather's drinking it, you don't rush. Yeah, I've seen this go bad with like a whole gallon before, so don't do that. So... What makes the milk white? Any scientists out there or just people that know just a very little bit?
Ask the cow.
We don't have the cow here though. What makes the milk white? Real quick guess.
White cow?
Calcium, right. So calcium's white. Oh. Milk has a lot of calcium, makes it white. So what's the most important thing that calcium does for your body?
Bones.
So everybody says bones. Our little kids, I've taught them to say the same thing. Samuel and Sequoia would say bones. I drink this so it makes my bones strong. So, can anybody say anything else that calcium does? Yeah, Hella. Makes nail and hair grow. I don't. That might be true, Hella. I don't even know, to be honest. I didn't do enough research. Nick says yeah. Okay, so, yeah, could do lots of things. So, quick little thought about calcium and about you. We'll tie this all together, right? So. Now that Heather's finishing up, let's get to our point. Thank you so much, Heather. Awesome. So hopefully, Heather, this hour has been good for you. And
We'll put this back away too so it doesn't get crazy hot. Here's a quick thing about, maybe, have you guys ever heard of osteoporosis? It's what happens where your bones get super weak. So the reason that happens is if your bloodstream doesn't have enough calcium, even though all of us said the most important thing calcium does is helps your bones be strong, your body doesn't think that. So if there's not enough calcium in your blood, your body's like, well, we know where to get it if we're not eating it or drinking it. So your body starts to pull calcium out of your bones, and it'll just keep pulling calcium out of your bones to get enough into your blood. Why does it do that? It's because all of your nerve endings, and probably for lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is all of your nerve endings need calcium as part of that chemical reaction that happens between all your nerves. So for you to move your arm or to jump up in the air, it takes a little bit of calcium in between all those nerves to help that signal go. And calcium does some things like that that your body thinks are more important than having strong bones. Like, it'll make your bones weak if it has to, if it's left with that alternative of like no calcium anywhere else. It'll make weak bones to make up for it, right? Now, why do I teach you guys that? It's because most people all across America, if I said, what's the point of milk? They'd say calcium. And if I said, what's the point of calcium? They'd say good, healthy bones, right? But now, for Maywood, we're gonna have a different answer, right? I think for most of us, we came in tonight thinking, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm good at, I know what it's for, you know? Kyle can fix like all sorts of different stuff on houses. So Kyle probably came into tonight thinking, these are the few things I'm good at, and I know how God wants to use me. Here's what I would challenge you with. Like, I've already made you think differently about milk that you've probably seen forever, you know? Trust me in this, that Jesus wants to use a lot of us for ways that we don't understand yet. And maybe he's used you for one thing so far, and maybe you're good at it, but maybe there's a lot of more important things he wants to do with the gifts that he's given you. And just like up until today, you didn't know calcium was for anything but bones, maybe up until today, you didn't know that your gifts from Jesus were for anything except for what you've already done. And I want to tell you, like, Maywood has not done what God has planned for us. You have not done what God has planned for you. Not in entirety. And so open up to Jesus, who wants to fill everything in every way. He reached down for us to lift us up to where when we're all functioning together, we're going to be his fullness. If you read the Gospels and you see the sort of stuff that Jesus is doing, Jesus does a lot more than we do in independence. Maywood is not the fullness of Jesus at this point. There's miracles happening here, but it's still not to the level of Jesus himself physically walking around independence, right? We sometimes know the right thing to say, but not like Jesus, right? People aren't changing like they changed around Jesus, even though people are changing. Like, we got further to go, but Jesus has given us the gifts that we need to get there. Think about what that means. Jesus healed people. And my guess is, in this parking lot, somebody has the gift of healing and just doesn't know it or hasn't experienced it. Jesus does all sorts of amazing stuff through the Gospels. He wants to do that same stuff through us. But some of us are so stuck in, like, I can only do one thing for Jesus. I can only make bones strong. Jesus can do lots through you. But more importantly, he can do everything through us. Like, there's nothing special about us except for Jesus has chosen us. That's what this passage says. He's given us everything we need. He picked each one of us and he gave each of us what we need. Not so we could be supermen, but so we could fit together as a family. So that's Maywood's vision, right? That's what's important to be a part of Maywood. Is to say, our first vision passage, the Great Commission, we're about helping people find new life in Jesus, obey everything he commanded. And we trust Jesus to be with us. The second passage, though, is our main role is to use our gifts.
So our main role isn't to have something particular happen on stage or in a particular room or at a particular time. It's that we as a group are a family that use our gifts to be Jesus's fullness. So the question tonight is, do you want to be a part of Maywood? So tell me, do you want to be a part of Maywood?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Jesus has given us gifts. Figure out a way this week to serve each other. Something we don't normally think of. Always when we talk about service, we think about like going out to that neighborhood or that neighborhood or that neighborhood. This passage says we're going to build each other up until we look like Jesus. And sometimes we're so quick to help everybody else outside of us. I think that's actually good. I think we need to do that most weeks, okay? But for this week, what if you said, Jesus, I believe you've given me a gift. And if I need some help, I'm going to ask a coach how to use it. And then I'm going to find another Maywood person, and we're going to help some other Maywood people. We're going to build them up. Because when we start doing that together, we're going to look like Jesus. And when we look like Jesus, other people are going to be drawn in. Right? So for you, right before we close, think about it. Who are you going to serve with? And who are you going to help here at Maywood? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you came down for us, that you gave us hope, that you gave us the gifts that we need, that you gave us each other, that you even gave us leaders here at Maywood to help. Jesus, shine through us this week. Open doors for us to serve each other. Help us to know what gifts to use. Open our eyes up to see how we can do more than make strong bones. How we can do things we've never done for you before. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.